Hello,
Sorry.
everybody. Ella J here on behalf of WrestleZone. And today I'm joined by Frankie B and Nikki Van Blair PPK. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. How are you?
I'm fantastic to be catching up with both of you. I've chatted both of you individually. Nikki, it's been 4 years, which is insane for us. With Frankie, it's been about two. So we got a lot to catch up on and a lot of exciting things to talk about in the very near future, which we'll talk about in a bit. But since I have both of you together, let's talk about PPK for a bit. Obviously, you two have known each other for several years now. I think I've known you both for about 4 years now as well, which is insane. But you two obviously recently made the decision to start teaming together in 2022, and thus PPK was born. So for those who don't know, talk us through how this duo came to be. What led you two to joining forces in the ring?
Nikki, you can take this away.
okay, so I so it was it's actually like very fortuitous how we came together. So I had just left a program on PWA, you could say. And I was just coming off injury, but I was ready to get back into the ring. And whilst this was happening, Frankie B was also ready to make her debut. So I was getting Botox and filler at the time, and I was having a casual conversation with Miss Frankie B. And we were like, hang on a second, why don't we just work together and see how that goes? And because we have always had such a strong love for each other outside of the ring, it was just a very natural fit. So we were like, oh yeah, okay, cool, let's pitch this. So then we pitched it. Our first match together was kind of like a let's see how they work together kind of thing. And our chemistry was very obvious from the minute we stepped into the ring together. So then they're like, yeah, cool, done. This is going to be a thing. And then they kind of just set us off on our own.
You two are so fun to watch together in the ring, and obviously, kind of knowing you guys personally, and I get to see your personalities off camera, but you can see that it meshes well together. On camera as well, and it's really fun. You get to amp it up too. I'm so curious though, before you even like teamed together, do you recall your initial impressions of each other?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we met so long ago that I think it's just kind of gone, like left my brain, because there's been so much that's happened since we've met to, I guess, now. Because when we first met, we had a friendship, but it was very much like as a passing, like, hi, bye, how you going? And then I guess when I came to PWA, that's when we started really connecting and then obviously working together. But I don't actually remember my first impression of you, which is probably good
That
because I
means
have first
that
impressions of everyone.
means very likely it wasn't a bad one, because I think you would have
Exactly.
remembered that if it was a bad one.
Exactly. So you're lucky.
I remember thinking Frankie was really pretty.
Yeah.
Fair. But that's all I remember, because I think when I initially met her, I was still training at APWG, so we never like ran into each other at training. But then I moved over to PWA. And I remember when I first moved over to PWA, I was only going to the intermediate classes to like, build up confidence or whatever. And Frankie was also in intermediate. So we kind of made this pact of if you go on Thursday, I'll go on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Because we also had it with, I think, Kingsley as well. Because we were all kind of very in tune at the same time, all kind of on the same sort of timeline and pathway of where we were training at. So, and obviously, given how big PWA is, it's a very, the ratio of men to women is quite different. So we kind of like stuck together of if you go, I'll go, at least that we have one confidant at the same, in the same time. So that's probably where we kicked it off.
It's a little bit of a full circle thing with Kingsley, which we'll talk about in a little bit there. But, you know, the PPK name itself, obviously, it's kind of a play on the sorority vibes. I see you, too. I've seen you with your schoolgirl-inspired ring gears sometimes, which I love. By the way, love the lollipops as well. Talk to us more about the origin story with your team name specifically and how you landed upon PPK.
Yeah, you're better at telling than I am.
Yeah, so we obviously wanted to go down like the Mean Girls sorority route.
Yes.
But because in my shoot work, I deal with copyrights and trademarks, I wanted to make sure we were nowhere near an actual sorority name. So we picked the word Prima because it's not actually a Greek letter, therefore no one can attack us on copyright. And then I think we just figured out the last two actual Greek letters. We're like, oh, and PPK just rolls off the tongue very easily.
Yeah.
So it was Prima Pi Kappa, essentially. And also, it's a little nod to the fact that Miss Frankie B is Greek.
Did not know this.
Yes.
How immersed are you in Greek culture in general? And I'm curious, were either of you, you know, in like university? Because I think, Frankie, we were talking about this last time with nursing, I think it was, you were going for.
Yes.
You've obviously have had that college experience. Was sorority something that you two were involved in before wrestling, like Greek life and all of that?
Sororities in general aren't a big thing in Australia, especially when you go to, I guess, university is more of what we call. So it's not a massive thing here. So you don't really get to experience that, like, sorority and, you know, banding together. You have, like, clubs and stuff at uni, but nothing to the extent of having the major college sort of atmosphere. In terms of immersion in my culture, I am very much immersed as a very proud Greek woman. It's kind of like a bit of a funny thing at training, just because I am very, what we say, wog, but everyone's so not used to, you know, me and how my cultural upbringing is influenced into my lifestyle. So everyone kind of makes like a bit of a joke out of it. To me, it's normal. Like, I will happily, you know, go about my day, but people everywhere else kind of are like, oh, that's so Heather. And to me, I'm like, it's just so Greek.
How does it specifically, for those who don't know you, how does it specifically influence your lifestyle? What kind of traits or mannerisms from the Greek life do you see in your daily life?
It's very hands, so a lot of this.
Okay.
Loud, very boisterous. It's also the way that I dress, what I wear, how much money I spend. That's probably a big one. And just like all the little things and like certain, I guess, pronunciations of words and coffee, like all of that, like normal everyday stuff to me is probably quite different. I like when some of the boys bring up things, I'm like, you have to say it the right way. And it's just making sure things are pronounced and done the correct, correct way.
Yeah, with PPK too, Prima is kind of like primary, like you guys are number one, you know. So I see you too kind of bringing in, you know, some spice in there too as well with the sorority vibes as well. But with any newer venture, it obviously takes some time to hone your craft, your identity, your characters, your presentation. So talk about the process of developing yourself as a team in that aspect and who PPK is in general, presentation and character wise.
At the time that we got together, Frankie still had blonde hair like mine.
Yes.
And just the visual of two pretty blondes coming together with a very strong feminine energy. It was very obvious where we were going to go naturally. So like when we first started, we had to really establish the fact that we were like, you know, those mean girls from high school. But we were also pushed as baby faces. So
we're
like, yeah. So we quickly established that, and then we had to also not just tell everyone what our characters were in promos, but in the ring as well. So before every tag match, we both do the air kisses, like as obnoxious as possible. We walk out with the lollipops, skirts are that bloody long. It was just very easy, and especially to do it with Frankie as well. And because our own personalities are in our wrestling characters as well. So it's not like we had to, this is going to sound bad, pretend to be bitches because we were already there.
You are the bitches, by the way. The exactly. Bitches. Yeah. Exactly. Hence Prima, primary. There you go.
Exactly. Number one.
You two mesh really well, not only personality-wise, but like we said, presentation-wise, and especially in the ring gear department. I know you were both not afraid to showcase a pop of color. I've seen you two sporting some matching bright pink and bright blue gear. Like we said, we've also seen the sorority girl-inspired looks. So talk about the process of crafting a cohesive look from the ring gear department as well.
Can I take this one?
Yeah, this is yours.
I think when it comes to gear, we have a very solid foundation of we work and where we draw inspiration from. So, say for the blue gear that we have, we call it the Elsa gear. That was something that I actually had created before I debuted because I thought I was going to debut and everything in between that. So, when it came to then matching with Nikki, we always try to be cohesive but still have a very individual style. So what you'll see with our gear is, yes, you can put us together, but if you put us separate, we're still ourselves. So when we draw inspiration, we pick and choose little aspects of what we like, and then we make it ourselves. So I've always got like a long sleeve with like the cute little booty shorts, and then we always have a play on that. Especially with this, we like interchanging gear as well, so we're not really big fans on always wearing the same thing. So a lot of the time on smaller shows, you'll see us wear the schoolgirl outfits, and then on the big shows, we're probably going to come out with new gear. So hint, hint. So I've also started the process of actually learning how to make gear. So I am trialing my hands at, you know, drawing, sketching, and then making gear ourselves. So a lot of the time it's something that derives from an inspiration that's popular at the time. And then we just kind of tweak it all together. You'll have it mixed in with my personality, then you'll have it mixed in with Nikki's, but the base design is always the same.
Well, like you said, I've seen some really cool inspired gear from you, especially Frankie. You mentioned Elsa. I'm also absolutely in love with your Storm inspired ring gear. I've seen that with the red, the black, and the trim of gold. Tell us more about the story behind that ring gear, and do you typically look towards Marvel and comics for a particular gear inspo, or pop culture, it seems, in general is a good source for you?
It's pop culture in general. That gear actually came from a conversation of what superhero characters do we like, and we both went, oh, we love X-Men, and I was like, oh yeah, I love Storm, and then Nikki was like, oh, I love the Dazzler, and we're like, perfect. That works. So that is a cohesive gear that isn't the same, but then still showcases, I guess, our personalities. I actually drew that gear, if I'm honest. I drew the X-Men gear. I drew Nikki's. The Elsa is obviously Elsa from Frozen. The pink gear was, I think, just pink's fluff. Like, that wasn't too
pink and girly.
Yeah, very, very that. We've drawn inspiration from Inside Scooby-Doo. Like, we have so much coming. Pretty much we've got the Kardashians wearing all of this other stuff, and we little mix and bits and pieces. But, yeah, the X-Men gear was a big one. It is pop culture in general that we draw a lot of inspo from.
Yeah, and Nikki, for you individually too, like just as a singles competitor, some of it blurs over with your tag team work. Do you typically look towards pop culture as well, or where do you typically look towards for ring gear inspo for individually?
Oh, big on pop culture. And also just inspirations in wrestling in general. So my first gear back from injury was like a pink tiger print onesie with a fur hood and like the yes. fur cuffs. So the design itself was taken from Sable because she wore that at Great American Bash 2003, I want to say. But then the tiger print was taken from Nitro Girl Tigress. So I just put them together and made this bodysuit. And it was still one of my favorite gears. But yeah, no, very big on pop culture and taking little inspirations from, like, you know, we've got one from Sailor Moon coming out and, you know, yeah. So yeah.
Now I have to ask specifically, because I feel like we all have our own favorite sailors. Is it just Sailor Moon in general, or is it specific sailors from the series?
I'm specifically Mars because she was my favorite, because she was okay. such a bitch.
That's true. That's true.
And I loved it about her.
I think I chose Saturn. Did I choose? I can't
remember.
No,
you're Jupiter.
There we go. Jupiter.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. I'm a Sailor Venus girly, so it works out. I'm gonna attach myself to this bandwagon in spirit. I hope you know this.
We can make you some gear, 100%. We'll send it over.
I'm down for it. Frankie's a great at designing now. So I'm curious, have you always, for you personally, have you always been like a artistically inclined is the word, or is that something you had to practice and develop?
Never.
Okay.
I don't know how to draw. Well, I can't say I don't know how. I've just never really honed in on drawing and whatnot. It was more of a, I have something in my brain that I'm trying to put on paper. Yeah. And if the message doesn't come across to the person that's making my gear, which it always does, I just want to make sure that maybe I can do it. And then that's where it stemmed from. It was purely a, I think I can do this. My ego going, yeah, totally. It's so easy. It's not easy. It's very hard. It takes a lot of time and a lot of precision. So my utmost respect for gear makers, because it is very hard and very stressful. But yeah, it came from me just purely wanting to try it.
Well, there you go.
And if now... I can...
Go ahead, Nikki.
If I can add to that, Frankie is very much a person where if she wants something done, she'll just do it herself. And she'll like self-teach herself. She'll Google, she'll YouTube if she has to. But she would rather just get it done herself than rely on others. So 100%. She essentially forced her way into designing gear and sewing it. And look at her now.
Well, now, Making Nikki, gear. now you got somebody to lean on if need be. And half the time, she'll probably just do it. She'll just do it yourself, maybe without you even knowing, just surprise.
Nikki doesn't have a choice. I go, this is what I'm making, and you're just getting the matching set to it. You just mm-hmm. Our conversation today was like, do you want a bodysuit or do you want shorts and a t-shirt? That's all Nikki gets. Everything else is me just going, here it is.
That's true friendship, because that's how you know Nikki trusts you.
Mm-hmm.
Just trusting the process. That's true friendship. You know, before we talk about some exciting things coming up, as we're looking towards the future, what goals are you aiming to accomplish, not only as a tag team, but individually as well? We'll go with Nikki first on this one.
I do want to become the first trans/non-cisgendered woman to win a specific women's title in Australia, because that's never been done before. So that is a big thing, because my entire like goal in wrestling in general is to knock down walls and barriers for queer and trans people. I, you know, being signed would be great, but that's not what I'm really striving for, to be honest. I just want to lay the groundwork, knock some walls down for the next generation to be like, make it easier for them. So that is one goal I do have in mind. And then I do want to travel interstate more this year and next. So hopefully things are coming up for that. Yeah, those are my individual ones, really.
Okay, Frankie.
I would say, you know, getting signed is the goal. But that actually wasn't a very big goal of mine until obviously after Perth. So getting signed would be great. But in terms of smaller, more achievable goals, I would love to spend more time in Japan. I went over very briefly last year. I was with Sendai and training at Sendai. So a big goal of mine this year is obviously to go back to Sendai, train more, possibly, you know, work a few matches if possible. But yeah, Japan is definitely my number one at the moment.
What are some things you learned about yourself or as a competitor through working with Sendai? Because I've heard so many good things. Obviously, it's a little bit more rigorous and demanding than, you know, other places. But tell us about your experience. What did you learn about yourself or as a competitor through working and training in Sendai?
Japan in general is very much... there's a pedestal in Japan, and it's for a reason. The level of wrestling and wrestling knowledge that Japan and the Japanese women and you just they have is insane. So one thing I learned about myself when I was in Japan was I'm not as shit as I think I am. Everyone always says that wrestling is a universal language, and it really is, because when you go to a place like Japan, where it can be quite intimidating, and when you go with an open mindset of just learning and wanting to train and wanting to be better, you very quickly learn what you're good at. But then obviously there's things that you have to work on. So for me, Japan was a massive learning curve in the sense of I can wrestle, I'm just not where I want to be. And this, like I said, the standard is so high that it's just reps into getting in Japan. That's all it is. And it really kills your ego. It really does. So that's a good thing about Japan. You go very humble and you stay humble in Japan.
Yeah, and sometimes you need to keep yourself grounded, but that's also good too, that, you know, you came in with a humble mindset kind of already, and you took some pride back. You're like, I'm pretty okay with this, you know, which sometimes can be the most validating thing ever, you know. It's so hard, because I know we're all our own worst critics, but, you know, that's a great balancing experience, it seemed, in Japan. And, you know, obviously you two are continuing to make waves in Australia, and, you know, you talk about challenges. You two have a big challenge ahead of you as you vie for the newly minted OPW Women's Tag Team Championships against Kingsley and Shea Cassidy, known as the Backslide Girls. Before we talk about the match itself, you know, this is going to be taking place at Mickey James's Her event under the banner of StarCast. And from what I understand, this is particularly significant because I think these are also the very first women's tag team titles across Australia, period. I think Nikki was the one who pointed that out. So what would it mean for you to win these titles and also making history?
It would mean literally everything, because I sometimes, when I get bored at work, I'll just research wrestling history. No offense to my coworker, you didn't hear that. So I was looking, I was just curious, like, have there ever been women's tag team titles in Australian indie wrestling? Could not find a single history of it, which I understand, because there aren't many women in Australia now, and there definitely weren't as many, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So these are, from my knowledge, the first ever women's tag titles in Australian indie wrestling. So to even just compete in the first match for it is literal history. It is groundbreaking. Frankie and I are so grateful for the opportunity, but we are also going to smash this opportunity. And, you know, if and when we do win, I would have achieved one of my goals just with that. So I'm definitely not taking it lightly. I know this is huge. And just to compete on a show run by a wrestling legend with other wrestling legends there is, like, I could not have fathomed this 6 years ago when I first started. Yeah, no, it's so big. I'm already so anxious for it, but I am prepared. I know Frankie is prepared. I know we are going to kill it. And I know we are going to shut up the people who don't have nice things to say about us.
This is, I am so excited for this show because, like we said, it's going to be coming up on April 12th. This is the Her Event, an all-women show, like you said, run by wrestling legend Mickey James at StarCast. Obviously, just in general, this is also a huge opportunity for Aussies to get more exposure. And so, you know, Nikki, you were talking about this is obviously an absolute honor for you. So, Frankie, what was your initial reaction upon hearing this announcement? And what does this event mean to you? It obviously means a lot to Nikki. So I'd have to imagine that it's similar emotions with you.
When I first heard about this event, my initial reaction was like, holy fuck. Like, there's nothing else that can really describe that because it is huge. It's momentous. Like, there are so many people that are coming that we, myself and Nikki, look up to. Like, that's who we were watching on TV when we, you know, were younger. And we go, oh, my God, I can do that. And I want to do that. And now to have them in our home country watching us, it's a complete full circle. So we're very grateful. But it's also like, holy shit, like, what is my life? What's happening right now? Like, I used to watch you on TV. And now... Mm-hmm. You're watching me potentially, you know, win a title. Like, it's mind-boggling. Like, I never thought we'd be in this situation, let alone, you know, bloody Mickey James. Sis, what's happening? Like, what is my life? That's legit. That is legit the feeling. Like, what is my life? And doing it with my best friend. Yeah, you could never ask for a more full circle moment. It's insane. Probably going to cry.
I will 1,000% cry, win or lose. And I am the softer one of us two. So if Frankie's going to cry, it's going to be 10 times as bad for me.
Like you said, though, there is a kind of a trio of legends, if I'm thinking correctly. Obviously, we have Mickey James. We also have Lisa Marie Vera and Victoria, who's also, there's going to be a six-pack challenge as an homage to her. And there's also a legend who is going to be presenting the first ever OPW Women's Tag Team Championships. Soon to be, actually at the time of recording to this, she will be appointed Hall of Famer. Yeah. Bull Nakano will not only be there, but will be presenting the OPW Women's Tag Team Championships to the winners of this upcoming title match. So how does that feel knowing that the legendary Bull Nakano is not only going to be at the event, but could potentially be handing you these new titles?
I've got just sitting here. Like,
yeah. So my initial reaction when I'm nervous, anxious, is to dry heave. Like, you see it a lot at wrestling training because I don't like heights, for example. So when they get me to go up to the top rope, I'll stand up there and I'll literally go, it's a gross quality. So when I found out that, oh, and by the way, Bull Nakano is going to be ringside and she's presenting the winners with the titles, I read it and I was like, I cannot think about it because I will, I have no words.
No words. You know.
No words.
I can vouch. Maybe, you know what? I can vouch. I was the one who broke the news to Kingsley. She had a similar reaction. She was also like sweating a little bit, even just on the phone. You know, that is obviously huge. I mean, also, it's like a week after she gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So she's going to be a hot commodity. So, I mean, Australia is getting her while she's ripe and hot off the heels of that. And then you could be literally getting the title that she's going to be handing to you.
We could be rubbing shoulders.
Exactly.
Rubbing shoulders with a WWE Hall of Famer.
And just a legend icon queen herself. Oy.
Now, in general, obviously, I know you guys are friends in real life. You will be facing the Backslide girls, Shay Cassidy and Kingsley. What are your thoughts heading into this title match in general and on your opponents? And what can fans expect from you two?
We are very grateful to be sharing an experience with not only two very talented women, but two very talented women that are also very close to us. We train together, we hang out together, we're in the same circle. So it is very humbling, is not the right word, but it's very nice to know that your opponent has your best interest like we do theirs. So I think in this match, you're probably going to see two teams that know each other very well, but then know each other very well. So we know their strengths, they know ours, same thing. We may know some of their weaknesses, they may know some of ours. So it's going to be very leveled. But given the height and everything in the situation, it's going to be very competitive. Have you met Kingsley before?
Yes. I can vouch for that. She is.
Yeah.
She is. She's going to spill some tea. I can say, though, fans can also expect some singing and dancing from this because the Backslide girls are, you know, assuming they come out to their normal singing and dancing entrance, you know. You know, maybe you guys might be singing and dancing if you win these titles. I'm just saying.
And it also might be a handicap. They've got Barnaby. Shay's smart. Shay is so smart. She's got Barnaby. Nikki, I think we need someone else.
No. Shay's smart, but we're smarter.
Might have to fly over to Australia now. Good back, you guys.
Yeah. I don't think you'd be able to choose between us, sis. I don't know why.
I mean, I just volunteered myself, so I can't go back
that
on it. So
yeah
she's our Sailor Venus.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Yes. If I make you the gear, you're going to have to side with us.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, regardless, though, I will be watching that match, knowing, again, I adore all of you. And I know whoever walks out victorious again is going to be making history, and it's going to be amazing to watch. But as we said, this her card in general is also stacked across the board. We've got Jordynne Grace versus Delta for the TNA Knockouts Championship. We have Lady Flamer versus SDL versus Jody Threat for the Reina de Reinas title. Obviously, talking about divas, Mickie James versus Alicia Fox. This is Alicia's first match back in a couple years. Erica Reed versus Lizzie Evo, Jessica Troy versus Tennille Dashwood, and so much more. So besides yours, obviously, is there, now I already know Nikki's answer to this. Besides yours, though, is there a certain matchup that you're particularly looking forward to, and why?
Mickie and Alicia Fox.
Yes, I already knew your answer.
I also am really looking forward to Jordynne Grace versus Delta. As soon as I saw that was announced, I was like, whoa, that is going to be so good. Very deserving of the main event spot. Whenever I see Delta, Delta is just...
Delta's Delta. Word.
Delta is an undeniable force. Every time I see her, I hug her. I'm like, I'm going to miss you when you get signed. And she's like, oh my gosh, stop. And I was like, no, it's inevitable at this point. Like, if someone doesn't snap her up now, they're bloody stupid.
I heard she got a tryout recently, so.
Oh, she's gone, babes. Like, she hasn't been confirmed that she's been signed, but, like, just to the book of Nikki, she's gone.
Yeah. Heather, for you, probably the same too. Delta versus Jordynne Grace. Also, like, two powerhouses. Delta's obviously a force to be reckoned with in her own right, but going against the juggernaut, I'm so excited to see that one.
I am also very excited, but I'm going to throw a match out that I'm also equally as excited for. It's a six-pack challenge. I just think having six of the best Australian women in one ring is a main event in itself. Like, you already have Charlie Evans, you've got Lena Cross, you've got Aisha. three of those girls themselves, like, is they're amazing. So to have all six of them in one ring, you're going to get a taste of each component of Australian wrestling, and that itself is a spectacular match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the time of recording this, there is still two spots TBD. I know by the time this comes out, we will know the identities of the last two, so you'll have to stay tuned for that. You know, to close things out, though, you know, you're talking about these talents being showcased, especially. But I feel like, especially in the last, like, 2-3 years, there's been an influx of a lot of new faces, some of which will be on this show. So as you two are, you know, immersed in this Australian wrestling scene, who are some talent from this newer wave that you think people should be taking more notice of or keeping an eye on?
There are actually so many talented women in this country, even some that aren't on this card yet, hopefully. Yeah. Like Cherry Stevens, it's like we don't even need to talk about how good she is. But also Belle Pierce, like she's been around for a while, but the last year or two, she has really stepped up her game, and she is honestly one of the top women in this country to me. But even outside of PWA, I highly rate Katie Lux from Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, the Empress of Darkness, I forgot what her moniker was, but she's from South Australia. She's also really good. My sister friend Eugenie from Queensland, she is an up-and-comer, and she gets better and better with each training session and with each match. So we have lots of good talent that people need to keep an eye out on. Oops.
Frankie, who are some talents you've been particularly enjoying?
I'm probably just going to piggyback off what Nikki said. Eugenie's great. Katie Luxie's great. Everyone's just kind of riding in their own wave and doing their own thing, but equally just bringing each other up. I don't have too much to say other than what Nikki, because Nikki says it all. Nikki just has all the answers. So what Nikki says, I say, yeah.
Okay. And what you design, Nikki follows. So it works out.
Exactly.
It works out.
It's a perfect pair.
Before we often joke.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Ahead. I was about to say, we often joke, but low-key not joking, that we share the same brain and we are one half put together, because together we, like, it's essentially like I know what she's thinking most of the time. Yeah. She knows what I'm thinking most of the time, but when we're apart, we're quite dumb. So you need us together to get the full experience.
Well, I know fans are in for a real treat in a full experience in just this OPW Women's Tag Team Championship match alone. I mean, PPK versus the Backslide Girls. First of all, like, I don't think there's not enough walls to contain the energy that you guys are going to unleash in that match, yeah, which I'm super excited about. And obviously, either way it goes, you know, one team is going to be making history and then receive that history from Bull Nakano. So I think, man, I'm really, really looking forward to this particular match. And just in general, both of you teams and then making history, it's so well-deserved for everybody on this event. And I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, before we let you guys go, can you please share where the listeners can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, which is FrankieBPro. I don't know how I got my own name wrong. And Instagram, which is the same thing, FrankieBPro.
My Instagram is Nikki Menagerie. Twitter, or I'm not calling it X, it's Twitter, is Nikki Van Blair. I think my TikTok is Real Nikki Candy, because my old account was hacked. So ignore that old one.
No.
Oh, and we're both on Facebook as well.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously check out Frankie and Nikki upcoming at the Hurt event on April 12th in Australia, led by wrestling legend Mickie James. And who knows, PPK could be walking out as the first inaugural OPW Women's Tag Team Champions. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. Nikki, Frankie, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having us.